popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, welcome along. It is your favourite NBL One West player's favourite radio show, and it's a big one. I guess this is our awards wrap-up special. Of course, we're heading into the finals now. All 18 regular season rounds are done. We've got our matchups for the qualifying and elimination finals. We're going to give you all of that, plus three stellar guests as well this week, Ben Pepper.
Brett Costello, we are finals time here in the NBL One West. Plenty to talk about. Special mentions to our award winners. We'll be looking at that for one segment.
A legend retires, Joel Wagner. We'll be chatting with him a little bit later on.
Yeah, excited to hear about why he chose to be a one club player, his love for the Perth Redbacks, and his relationship with past players and the current players, and the respect that they have for Joel Wagner. But not only that, what he'll be doing in retirement and staying busy with his three kids.
The women's MVP, Stacey Barr, will join us, and the men's defensive player of the year, also a first team selection, Cam Coleman.
Yeah, Cam Coleman shares to us about what he loves about playing in Australia, his third team, his second defensive player of the year award, and we'll chat about their push for another championship at the Geraldton Buccaneers.
Across the next hour, we'll break down all of those finals matchups, of course. I guess the simplest way to explain it is the top four has a qualifying final, the bottom four has an elimination final and has a chance of getting knocked out. So some important games coming up this weekend.
Basketball right around the WA metro and regional areas. We've got games in Geraldton, games in the Goldfields, games down right around Perth in the north and the southern suburbs. Plenty of basketball going on right now, Brett Costello.
We'll break down all of the award winners from the big BWA and NBL One West dinner on the weekend after this on the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
As we told you in the opener, of course, Saturday night was the BWA NBL One West Awards night. It was a fantastic initiative and some great entertainment on the night, including highlights from the various rounds. We had some great memorials of some life members and things like that as well. So I was actually really impressed with the presentation, Ben.
Yeah, it was a fantastic night. And we also got the opportunity to recognise three new inductees into the Basketball WA Hall of Fame. And it was, I really loved the night. It was bringing together the 14 associations, the score bench, the statisticians, the referees, the clubs, the staff, the players. And it was just a really good night to have them all in one boardroom to celebrate what has been a year of so many interruptions to our personal lives, but one common goal of basketball that brings our community together. And I thought, for me, in particular, referee of the year, Craig Copes, what he touched on and the sentiment of 20 years of acknowledgement for his contribution to state basketball refereeing, but also referee of the year, and congratulations to him. And him sharing about sharing the court so many a times with different players and so many quality players, but also seeing the game from a different view with a whistle in his mouth and encouraging everyone to try it and see how you could see things differently. I thought that was fantastic. And I also special mention to Mark Worthington, who was inducted in the Hall of Fame, when he shared about all the sacrifices that all the same people who've still involved in those associations, the volunteers that make things happen. And that's one thing that really resonated with me is being a commentator and my ability to go around to all the different associations and seeing the different people who do the setups, the people who do the pack-ups, the people who do the scoring, who do the statistician stuff, who make a game night happen for our players and our coaches. And he touched on that as being a huge part of his career. And then obviously sharing about Andrew Vlahoff and him being his first sort of idol and him being in the room that night, that was a really cool sentiment.
People are probably fairly familiar with a lot of the awards winners. They certainly have been posted on the socials in the recent days, but let's break it down. Let's start with the men's All-Star Five. I don't think anyone can be too mad at this All-Star Five. What a quality group of players.
Absolutely. Caleb Davis, Marshall Nelson, his teammate Devondrick Walker, Cam Coleman from the Geraldton Buccaneers, and the walking bucket. He had a 40-piece twice in the season, CJ Turnage. What an incredible starting five there. But Very well deserved, all those five having great years.
Devondrick Walker, of course, the eventual MVP out of that group. Cam Coleman, who we'll be talking to later, Defensive Player of the Year being his focus as well. Devondrick Walker, we understand, having a bit of a cheeky train with the Perth Wildcats at the moment.
Yeah, that's our understanding as well. I was able to have a chat briefly to Devondrick Walker, and he was just... He said that basketball is a game of enjoyment. We chatted a little bit on Saturday night. He said, I want to enjoy it. He was having a bit of a rough time in Latvia where he was previously. He reached out to Greg Heyer. That's how he made his way to the Rockingham Flames. And he's loving the experience of playing with the Flames, but also chatting to members of both the men's and the women's teams is that he's just such a humble star. He knows all the names of all the girls on the females team. He gets to know them as well. He interacts with everyone in the club and just a really good role model for the Rockingham Flames and an out-and-out star here in our NBL One West.
An equally talented lineup for the women's All-Star Five as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've chatted about it last week on our show about our predictions and the like, and Emma Clark, Tage Morrell, her teammate Robbie Ryan, Jesse Edwards from the Coburn Cougars, who had a fantastic year, and MVP, the walking bucket, bang, bang, Stacey Barr. She was part of that All-Star Five. She's come on the show, and she won that MVP. Congratulations to her.
We'll have a chat with Stacey Barr a little bit later on, live from Bendigo, as we understand, doing a bit of a tournament over there.
Indeed, but she assures us, I'm sure, that she'll be back in time for that qualifying final against the Wiltord Tigers.
Other key ones that we mentioned, of course, Cam Coleman with that Defensive Player of the Year, and Gandini, the returning Defensive Player, is on the women's side.
Well, Emma Gandini, what an incredible 12 months it's been with her. Since she last won the Defensive Player of the Year, she's won an NBL One West Championship. She signed as a development player with the Perth Lynx. She became part of their starting 10. She's been rewarded with a full playing contract to return with the Perth Lynx, and she just won her second back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year. Very well deserving. She's a huge part of that Williton Tigers. They've had a rocky sort of run into the finals, but with her on their side, I'm sure they'll be ready to rock the boat there at the Warwick Senators.
You had some big interest in tracking the Youth Player of the Year awards and came up with your sort of top six in last week's show, and you were obviously tracking the winners for that one.
Yeah, we did. We had Nashea Parker-Williams, who had extended opportunities with the Joondalup Wolves this season. She had a fantastic year. She really led from the front. She did led her scoring through the talking. She was really an absolute deserving winner for the Joondalup Wolves. And for the Southwest Slammers, Caleb Vandergrind, he's a thoroughly deserved winning. And I always say that for you to average a double-double and to go at 57% from the field in a team that won only a minimal handful of games in this season, so much expectation and pressure put on a young star. All the best for him as he makes his way over a little bit later in the year for his NCAA college career.
An interesting glitch I noticed in that voting system. As much as we picked Jewel Williams as a good opportunity to perhaps take out that award, she was actually ineligible, having won it before. So Nashea Parker-Williams, very worthy winner, as you've indicated, but based on MVP votes, Jewel Williams actually had more.
Jewel Williams had a fantastic year. But Nashea Parker-Williams, well, I think you've mentioned that just because I tipped her to win last year, so maybe I should have read the fine print. None other than that, thanks for looking out for me. Nashea Parker-Williams was fantastic, but it was great on the night to recognize some of our great young stars, and we had two players mentioned in particular, with Josh Ibukunalua from the Wiltord Tigers, who won our Youth Player of the Year, and Grace Foster, both from the Wiltord Tigers. And one of the things I loved about the night was there's recognition all across the board for all roles. But especially the young talent that is coming through, and it really showed them a pathway for the future that basketball in WA is in good hands.
Now, we probably should mention Jordan Scardetta's biggest and most accurate guess after he couldn't get the Defensive Player of the Year and he couldn't get much else right. He did get the Commentator of the Year award right, though. So congratulations to our very own Ben Pether for taking out that award.
Brett, thank you for the sentiment. I was hoping you wouldn't mention it. But look, it was it was a fantastic night. I took out the Commentator of the Year. A lot of people ask me how I got into commentating or how it happened, and it pretty much essentially started with a conversation on a golf course 18 months ago with Jack Eisenberger. The league was starting up. They're looking for live stream. Jack Eisenberger said, why don't you give the commentating a go? I thought about it. I said, no way. He said, I'm going to hold you to that. You need to call Adam Bowler by the end of today. And I gave Adam a call. He said, we're pretty busy. We're pretty full. He rang me 2 days later. I had an opportunity to go down to Rockingham to fill a spot. and the rest is history. So, no, it's been fantastic to be involved with it. Special mentions to Ty Thwaites from the Covan Cougars and Jackie Keeper from the Willetton Tigers. They sort of gave me my start and gave me some different opportunities, and I really appreciate them. And it's so cool just to go right around the league now with the KO stuff and doing the game of the week and doing the live stream as well, and just chatting to all the people who make the basketball ecosystem come alive. And it's anything from our volunteers to people who do the stats, to do the score bench, our referees who we can have a laugh with. They all make the basketball community here in WA what it is. And I enjoy it. It's something fun, and one thing I've added to sort of the bow is coming in and doing these radio shows with you, Brett. So, it's fantastic, and thank you to everyone for their messages, and look forward to the finals, and keep plodding along with it.
Certainly with the invention of the NBL One West, it's certainly been a great opportunity for former players like yourself who've got a great knowledge of the league, the likes of player coaches like Mark Utley getting involved. There's all, I think I've heard Steve Charlton call some games in the past. Yeah, all sorts of, I guess, personalities from around the league can be fostered into some of these new roles that have come available as a result of the streaming.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely say that my commentating career is definitely better than my playing career at the at the state level, but yeah, they always say that sometimes the best coaches aren't necessarily the best players. But, thank you for the sentiment again. But, it's fantastic, right? And we get to hear their voices and share with them. But the other thing that I guess I really love about it is the ability to bring that player alive and speak into that player and see their abilities and chat about their experiences and what they've been able to do and how what they do maybe 9 to 5. And I look at some of our best players. You look at a guy like Ben Purser from the Perry Lakes Hawks. He's a lawyer Monday to Friday. And as his teammates say, as soon as it gets 5 minutes before training, he races in his full suit. And 10 minutes later, he's got his boots on and he's going 100 miles an hour. So got guys like him, Gavin Field, Joel Wagner, who's been on the show. And then our young stars as well, our up and coming right before our eyes. It's really cool to be a little bit a part of that, and it's for their family and their friends who are watching along, and bring that to life for them as well. So yeah, it's great to have former players, former coaches jump in the coaching box, the commentary box with me, and we've really enjoyed bringing that to all our fans right around the state.
We mentioned Joel Wagner. We'll be speaking with him soon, so we'll perhaps take a break on that note. Be back on the other side of this on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations. 2-0-1-5. Yeah, it's so good. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello, Ben Pether with you. Well, it's a sad day for the Perth Redbacks, but we're pleased to have on the line their captain, the all-time league assist getter, Joel Wagner. Welcome along to the NBL One West radio show.
Evening, gents. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you on. I kind of alluded to it there. All-time assist getter in the NBL One West SBL combined. You were able to get a sneaky few on the last game as well to top off 3,000 assists. You really now put yourself in that John Stockton of the NBL One West level, haven't you?
Oh, I suppose so, yeah. Always enjoyed getting my teammates involved and had some damn good players to play alongside and shoot the ball, that's for sure, over the years.
You've certainly taken that captain role sort of really seriously. I could see the outpouring from some of the other players online, on the socials and so on, and really the respect and endearment really that they've held for you has, I think, been really a tribute to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I always sort of naturally had, and I had some junior coaches when I was at the Redbacks as a wobble player that sort of let it be known to me that I was sort of a natural leader, so I embraced it and just always enjoyed it and always enjoyed trying to get the best out of my teammates.
Wags, Ben Pether here. Congratulations on your phenomenal career. It's been a one-club player for the Perth Redbacks in the SBL. You spent time with the Perth Wildcats and the Sydney Kings in the NBL. What was it about you that stood out to be a one-club player for the Perth Redbacks? And because I'm sure at times it definitely would have been the knock on the phone call to join other clubs. What was it for you? Why was that a priority to be a one-club player?
I came into the SBL program around some pretty strong sort of club people, and there were some life members involved in those times as well. So they were always preaching the fact that it was a the sort of place that you'd want to stay forever. And I grew up with, you know, watching Jamie Baker and Matty Earp and the likes of those guys play. So for me, that was always something that, I loved. Probably the other thing was, as a junior, didn't necessarily get embraced for what I could do for state teams or anything like that. And the Redbacks was always a place that I went back to and felt welcomed and valued for what I could do. So I just sort of thought, you know, it's almost like repaying the favour, if you like. They always looked after me, so I always felt that it was the right thing to do to come back. And I also just loved the history of the club. You know, it's something that we celebrate well at the Redbacks, and it's something that I definitely wanted to be a part of.
You speak there of coming back and those leaders and some really good club people. There feels like a really good vibe around the Perth Redbacks right now. Being there on game night, the game day experience has really evolutionised for yourself, but those teammates that you talk about, and it's hard to always put it down to one or two or your favourite teammate, and we're not going to put you in that scenario, but getting people involved, best shooters that you've played with, those the likes of that, who were some of the more memorable teammates that you played with and stood out for maybe individual talent or things that we didn't see throughout your career?
I think probably the first, you know, unreal import I played with was John Merriweather. I can't remember the year exactly, but he was the kind of guy that was
2012, I think.
2012, there you go. And we had a great team that year. We had Jesse Wagstaff. And, yeah, we were really primed that year. We lost to Lakeside in the end in the semis, I believe. But, yeah, John Merriweather was just the most efficient offensive player I've seen and had the pleasure of being the point guard for. I could just throw it anywhere and he would go and get it. And his mid-range game was ridiculous. The best shooters I've played with, probably Ryan Neal and Jared Pryor side by side. And they'll let it be known as well that I haven't won an assist title in the league since they stopped playing. So I had a pretty good shooting crew around me in those earlier years.
You touched on there John Merriweather. You said you could throw it around everywhere. Fun fact about him from memory is that his father won an ABA US dunk competition. He was the dunk contest. That's from memory from that. So throwback there. You touched on Jesse Wagstaff. Before he won all those multiple championships with the Wildcats, he was playing his trade there with the Perth Redbacks. Playing with a young Jesse Wagstaff to see what he's going on to do, is that something you thought he was always going to do? And from my understanding, he's a great guy on and off the court.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely see that he was going to be a long-term player in the NBL. The way that he carries himself, he's cool under pressure. He was shooting the ball well. He's a strong body. He plays multiple positions at the time. And like you said, high character guy. So fit into the culture that Beveridge really built in that year and took that forward.
Over the last sort of 6 or 7 days, we've seen the social media outpouring of for your career, the likes of Kyle Armour, Damien Scott, Mike Vigor, Marshall Nelson, all sharing their sentiment to seeing you wrap it up in retirement. You are one of those players that are much loved around the league, almost like JK for the West Coast Eagles. When you played on the road, where were some of your favourite stadiums, or was there a matchup that you really have looked forward to throughout your years, whether it be a player or a team or a stadium that you really enjoyed sort of getting on the road and playing those away schedules?
Yeah, I would say, well, first of all, I'm a Dockers man, so I'd rather a David Mundy comparison.
My apologies.
but I love JK as well, even as a Dockers supporter. I always loved going to Geraldton to play. We weren't getting great crowds for our sort of local games back early when I was playing, and Geraldton was always a place you'd go and it'd be a full house, and, you know, you'd be getting heckled from the sideline. And it was just a great atmosphere, something I hadn't really experienced as a young player. So I'd definitely say Geraldton. And even towards the end, I still loved going there, the old floors. And, yeah, it just feels like a really nice gym to play and good place to shoot as well. And from that as well, I used to really enjoy going up against Michael Lay, especially when he was a young import and I was a young up-and-comer. We had some unreal battles and ended up being good mates over the years as well. And also, you've already said his name, but Kyle Armour. I always sort of got excited to get up against Kyle and beat the hell out of each other during the game, and then, you know, shake hands and have a beer. And after the game, it was always always great times.
You touched there on Michael Lay. I know one of the other point guards up there at Geraldton. It was such a mismatch that they had. They had the old and the new with Michael Lay and Greg Brown, but it is a fortress for them. They're doing fantastic. In season 2022, the Geraldton Buccaneers. For yourself there, you also touch on Kyle Armour. We've had him on the show. He brought up 250 games this season. You are the all-time games record holder for the Perth Redbacks. season 2023, you will not be a part of their squad. Will you still be involved with the club, and what does that look like for you going forward?
I mean, we'll see what happens. It depends how long my wife, Katie, you know, will be happy having me home every single night. She'll probably get sick of me pretty quick. But, at the moment, I am sort of thinking I'll take a little bit of a step away in an official capacity, but I'll still definitely be at a lot of games next year, and I'm sure I'll be in amongst the boys at certain times throughout the season.
Just one last one. Michael Vigor. You would have seen him as a young, teenage, skinny, lanky player, and you talk about those sort of state teams not getting that representation yourself, that recognition, should I say. It's probably someone who probably didn't get that recognition maybe in their teenage years. To see what he's been able to do and the career he's been able to put together over many years, but also in many countries, is something that probably, and I know that he definitely looks up to you. I'm sure you're proud of what he's been able to achieve in that championship you guys got together in 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love to see all my mates doing well, especially getting opportunities elsewhere. Him, Marty Nelson, you know, Lewis Thomas, those sorts of guys that have played it over the years. But yeah, Viggs in particular, I was a young captain when he was a rookie, and just to, you know, be a part of it early on with him and helping him mature was a really awesome experience for me, and I'm sure for Mike as well. And then, yeah, to see him go and be a Commonwealth Games player for his home country, it was quite emotional, to be honest, to think about where he'd come from. He was pretty late to the game and pretty raw early on. So, and now he's, you know, to me, he's probably the highest IQ player in the competition. So, yeah, it's been very impressive and awesome to see one of my best mates go that far.
Joel Wegner, outgoing captain there at the Perth Redbacks. We thank you for your dedication to our local league and for all of the hours and the games that you've played. And I'm sure everyone there at the Perth Redbacks, of course, also wishes you all the best for the future. And I, as you've sort of indicated, I can't imagine it'll be too long before you're bouncing back in some type of capacity at the club as well.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. I'll see you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From X-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
NBL One West Radio Show, welcome back. As we head towards the weekend, we've got some big qualifying and elimination finals. As we mentioned a little bit earlier on, if you're in the top four, of course, you get that double chance, a qualifying final to go straight through to the future rounds. For those bottom four teams in the top eight, every chance of being eliminated if they can't win this one-game matchup. On the Friday night, just one game, Ben. The Joondalup Wolves and the Mandurah Magic in the women will tip off at 7 p.m. there at HBF Arena.
What a game. My understanding is no Robbie Ryan for the Joondalup Wolves.
It'd be a big loss for them.
The Mandurah Magic coming back after what was a bit of a blip in the radar there against the Goldfields Giants. They came back with a convincing win the week later. They're coming into some form, the Mandurah Magic. Some interesting. They match up well against the Joondalup Wolves, but I think at the Wolfpack Fortress, the HBF Arena, none other than Neil Barnard will have that place rocking. DJ and MC, incredible effort, and he'll get them over the line. The Green Wolfpack Army to be one win away by 9 p.m. from the grand final.
I feel like it's a bittersweet moment for the Mandurah Magic. You battle all season long season. You get into the third place spot. You just edge ahead of the Willetton Tigers, and then you match up in a 2-3 as the Joondalup Wolves, undefeated for that first part of the season, probably the first three quarters of the season just about. You mentioned no Robbie Ryan, so maybe it ends up being a favourable matchup for them.
Indeed. They do match up well against them. Last time they did meet, but was at the Mandurah Aquatic Recreation Centre down there. And the Mandurah Magic did get the win on that night. Robbie Ryan didn't play. But I think that finals time. Coach Marcus Wong, Coach of the Year. Congratulations to him. Nashea Parker-Williams. I feel like Taze Morrell, a bit of a point of difference here. That's a tough matchup for the Magic. I'm sure Whittinger will go to her. Tier usage, bringing that full court D, will disrupt their offense for the Magic. I've just got this feeling the Junior Bulls get the job done.
We didn't shout him out earlier, so we probably, you mentioned Marcus Wong. We should also mention Dale Joseph, head coach of the Bucks, getting the Coach of the Year award. We didn't focus on the coaches during our award segment. We'll touch on that for Saturday night, because there's seven fixtures across the men's and the women's on the Saturday night. It's going to be hectic on the live stream. We're going to be swapping over all sorts of games and keeping up to date on the stats. Maybe we'll start with that men's matchup. The Geraldton Buccaneers, the number one seed, facing the Coburn Cougars up there at Active West Stadium.
Well, I'm going to put this on record, because I know we ruffled some feathers down there at the Warley Hagen Stadium. I know Damien Barr was hunting you down at the awards night. I know some assistant coaches wanted to have some friendly banter with me as well. I'll put this on the record, 45% or more. If Carter Skaggs shoots 45% or more from the three-point line, they'll get the win up there at Active West. If he goes off, they win. And that's plain and simple for me. There are some tough matchups. It'll be interesting to see who goes to Carter Skaggs. Will they send Cam Coleman to Carter Skaggs? Will they send Sean Stewart to Carter Skaggs? Who will they send to Carter Skaggs in that matchup? That will be really interesting. Obviously, you've still got to worry about Gaffield, and you've got to worry about, at the point guard, the Golden Hands, Saber Chan. But 45% or more from Carter Skaggs. I know that he was feeling a touch ripped off, that he wasn't higher in the MVP voting. His teammate Gaffield was in the top 10, and congratulations to him. We did have to explain to him how it worked, but he has been phenomenal throughout the year. And I said last week that he would have probably polled the most 9-vote games. He needs to shoot 45% or more from the three-point line, and the Cougars get the win on the road. But they'll be quietly confident. They beat them. They gave them their first loss of the season at home, the Coburn Cougars. They beat them at Wally Hagen in Sunday action. They were up for majority of the game and lost in OT the last time they played up there without Gavin Field. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think if he shoots 45%, they win.
Well, we'll ask Cam Coleman who he thinks his matchup's going to be, because we'll talk to him a little bit later on in the show. I've got another one for you. If you get 20 points out of Field and Skaggs, they've got every chance of getting over the line against the Bucks. If they don't get that spread of productivity and become too reliant on one, I have some concerns for them, and the top seed may go through in that qualifying round. We've got quite a few other games, so let's smash out also on the Saturday, sticking with the men's, the Goldfield Giants and the Mandurah Magic. Again, it's another rural fixture.
I think that the two rural fixtures are the hardest to pick throughout the schedule for the weekend. The Goldfields Giants at home is always tough, but enter Jay Bowie. He is a walking bucket. He's 6'7", lefty, hard to guard. It'll be really interesting to see who they throw at him. You got him. Ray Turner is a tough matchup for them. It'll be interesting to see if Lavonzo Smith goes to him as well. And then, of course, at the point guard position, you have Armour, Cummings. They've got Damon Ballantyne back. It'd be interesting to see. And then, of course, forgotten about, and one of the quietest stars in the league. Probably didn't get as much attention being down at Mandurah with everyone else, but he was huge. He had two 40-point games. Daquan Abram as well. He's a tough matchup for the Goldfields Giants. The elimination final at Neil Hansen Arena. That game's going overtime.
Ooh, okay. It's all on the line, because it's that one game elimination, as you say. So it's going to be all on the line out there in the Goldfields. The 2-3, the other qualifying matchup alongside the Bucks and Cougars, sees the Rockingham Flames take on the Joondalup Wolves. Also a 7 p.m. tip-off right across those Saturday's men's fixtures. This one at Mike Barnett's.
People can question me all they want, but the Rockingham Flames have got two things. Ryan Petrick, best coach in the league. Second thing, Devondrick Walker, best player in the league. They get the win.
Straight to the point on that one. Joondalup Wolves will have plenty to say about that, I'm sure. And if you find Jonathan Wade on a hot night, and no Marshall Nelson, of course, anymore with the Flames. So, you know, they've still got plenty of talent to cover that.
Oh, absolutely. I just think that it's really hard to look past those two things. Ryan Petrick, best coach in the league. Devondrick Walker, best player in the league. I don't think we've actually seen the absolute best of Devondrick Walker. Yes, Marshall Nelson, starting five all-star, huge loss. I completely agree with you, but it's one of those things that Ryan Petrick, there'd be no way he wouldn't have been planning for some different things. Obviously, things are going to change. You plan for the worst things to happen, and unfortunately, look, they do lose Marshall Nelson, but he'll have some plans. They've had Beard come back. They're getting serviceable minutes out of the guys who they've already got, And for the Joondalup Wolves, I just struggle to see who goes to him and who can stop Walker. I don't think Turnage can stop Walker, and I don't know if Wade can be the one they go there because they lose him in the guard position. The other thing also is you're able to play Ryan Godfrey right now off the ball. That's the other matchup. That's the interesting part, is if he comes back to the point guard position now, you probably lose a little bit of scoring there from Ryan Godfrey because having to play that point position more. Jervis inside, I think they win that battle as well against the Joondalup Wolves. So I think they're Rockingham, and I think they do it in plus 10.
Well, the final matchup in the men's is the 5th place Senators versus the 8th place Hawks. It's going to be at Warwick Stadium. Probably the two teams with the most mixed form, it's fair to say, coming into this matchup.
Yes, special shout out to the Warwick Senators men's side. Nothing but love for them. On Saturday night, we had a really good chat with them. The Hodge brothers, they were fantastic, and they'll get in around George Pell, the boy who's become a man right in front of our eyes, and fantastic season from them. We've heard on the rumour mill that Cody Ellis may not be playing, taking any further part of the season with a knee injury, but the emergence, or should I say the re-emergence, of none other than Brian Michaels, B. Mikes as he's known to most of his buddies. That's a really tough matchup. I like the Perry Lakes Hawks, but I feel like they're lacking one player. They're just lacking one player, and for the Warwick Senators, I feel like at home, I will say that if the difference at the four-minute mark is more than two possessions, which is what would happen naturally. If it's more than two possessions at the four-minute mark of the final quarter, it's going to be the Warwick Senators. At the four-minute mark of the final quarter, I'll be on this call. The four-minute mark of the final quarter, if it is a two-possession game, I think the Hawks get it done. Other than that, if it gets blown out early, I just think it's too much of a gap for the Perry Lakes Hawks.
Well, flipping back to the women then, there's going to be plenty of action and atmosphere up there at Warwick Stadium because the women's tip-off at 5 p.m. first. Of course, the Warwick Senators taking on the Willerton Tigers. We'll chat with Stacey Barr before too long and get her insight into this one. But 1v4, how do you see this falling?
Well, you know what my prediction is. I was able to chat to Janelle Morley on Saturday night about it. She was able to put a face to a name to the person who's put all this pressure, apparently, on the Warwick Senators. But I'm sure with the season that they've had, the pressure was going to come. They've got Chloe Forster, Nat Burden, the MVP, Stacey Barr, Nicole Georges and Jaw, Leonie Fibich. They've got some stars, but the focus has to be on the Willerton Tigers. Which Willerton Tigers will rock up at Warwick Stadium? Will it be Alex Sharp in takeover mode? Will it be Emma Gandini be able to get 4 or 5+ steals, be able to bring that pressure to Stacey Barr? Will she go straight to Stacey Barr, or will they try something else? Will they try and sort of mix it around? What will Simon Parker do to take them out of their stuff? I think Warwick gets the win, but if Alex Sharp comes to play, it's likely that Fibich will go to her. But if Alex Sharp takes over, then They could seriously cause some headaches for the Warwick Senators.
Of course, any of those top four losers with the double chance to play the next weekend, of course, anyway. And the Perry Lakes Hawks find themselves in 8th position in the men's and the women's, so they travel down to Wally Hagen to take on the 5th place Cougars. That's a 5 p.m. tip-off down there.
Out of all teams, they're probably the biggest favourites there in the whole sort of weekend of basketball. Probably is the Coburn Cougars. Jesse Edwards, I think that she's too much of a matchup for the Perry Lakes Hawks, and I think Jill Williams at the point guard position as well, really tough for them. Emma Clark, outstanding year. Absolute outstanding year. All-Star 5, rewarded for that. She's off to see the Sydney Uni Fames a little bit later on. Runner-up MVP. Well, she was in the top 5 from my understanding.
Yeah, runner-up. I think you're
runner-up.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, runner-up MVP. She's going to be tough for them, but I feel like Coach Thwaites just got too many options. I think Jill Williams causes problems. I think Jesse Edwards gets her job done early. And I feel like this is probably out of reach with about 5-6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Well, the final match across the weekend in the women's side sees the Lakeside Lightning hosting the Rockingham Flames, that 6v7 elimination matchup.
They played each other last week. They're playing each other again this week. Same venue, same two teams. Bit more on the line. Last week was a dead rubber. The Rockingham Flames get the job done. I have to feel the Rockingham Flames. Marin Cracker, quiet star of our league. But if she comes to play, you add in the likes of Patricia Brosman. They get some handy inclusions from their bench. I just feel like they've got the momentum. They got the win last week. The psychological battle there, I feel like the Rockingham Flames win and they progress.
Well, plenty of action across the weekend. You can see all of those over at mbl1.com.au. Do you know which one they're picking up on KO this week?
Yeah. So Saturday night, 5 p.m. tip-off, Warwick Senators, Willetton Tigers. I'll be on that call, and we'll have the men's and the women's on the KO for the game of the week.
Thanks, Ben. We'll be back the other side of this to speak to the women's NBL One West MVP, Stacey Barr. She'll chat to us before too long. Defensive Player of the Year, Cam Coleman from the Buccaneers, joins us as well on the NBL One West radio show.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. And as promised, this time on the line, we've got the recently announced MVP from our women's NBL One West competition. She's a star there at the Warwick Senators. Welcome along, Stacey Barr.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It was an excellent night on Saturday, and probably you were in one of the most excellent seats. Your second MVP. What does this one mean to you?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to get to win another one, and under the NBL One banner. It kind of just not so much tops off because we haven't quite finished yet, but it's been a great season so far, so to get that award as well is an honour, and I think it's just our team and the way we've played this season and the amount of girls that have just stepped up and played their role. I think it's a really good team award as well.
It struck me as an award that was given on such a strong team. Like, you guys finished top of the ladder. You had certainly plenty of stars on your team, and I thought that spoke to the award even more highly.
Yeah, I think we had three or four girls poll in, the top 20, which is awesome for the team and for the club. So, yeah, even more of an honour, I guess, to win it in such a strong team this year.
Stacey Barr, Ben Pether here. Congratulations on your award. You've played all around the world. You played in Europe. You spent your time in the NCAA with the University of Idaho. Now you're applying your trade back here for the Warwick Senators. Your second MVP, I put the word out there. I made the prediction that you guys would go undefeated for the rest of the season. You had 36-8 against the Joondalup Wolves. You ended their run, but it was on Saturday night when you won the MVP that I saw how close you are as a group. What do you enjoy about playing for the Warwick Senators? And what is it, the point of difference about this group that sort of makes it fun each and every night representing the Senators?
Yeah, the club overall is a fantastic club to play for, and it just feels like it's just a really close-knit community, and all the families that get along to the games and the kids that are there, and just seeing all of that and the effort that goes into game days and behind the scenes. So playing for Warwick has been really fun just in that regard. And then the girls, yeah, like you said, we're a very close-knit team and on and off the court, and I think that plays a huge role in our success and, how we celebrate it as a team off the court, I guess, as well. And those friendships that I've made along the way, people who have become really important people in my life. So I think that all contributes to our success on the court as well.
And I have it's my privilege to call the games, and many a times it's been bang, bang, Stacey Barr from deep, and out there on the court, it just seems so effortless for you. You just always have it in second or third gear, and it's almost like somewhat emotionless. What are you thinking about during the game, and as a shooter, probably a volume shooter, how do you sort of just block out the misses and then zone in on the makes?
Yeah, you're not the only person to kind of tell me that, emotionless kind of face, I guess, when playing. I'm not sure. It's just always been like you go out and play basketball and try and forget about whatever's happening off the court in your life. And for that hour or 2 hours you're there, you're just focused on that. And I don't think a lot goes through my mind. And some people say that's a good thing and some people say that's a bad thing. But that's the way it is for me. And just go out and play. And my missed shot, I don't really ever think about them too much, but if I was, it was just kind of like, on to the next thing and go do something I can control, go play some good defense or get a rebound and contribute to the team that way. Some people, you could look at my stats and you could kind of tell that I'm going to shoot and, if I miss, I'm going to shoot the next one and hopefully they start dropping for me. Some nights they don't, but just that shooter's mentality that the next one's going to go in.
Well, speaking of shooting, you went at 45% from the field in season 2022. The two words I like to describe watching you play is it's engaging and entertaining, and it's been an absolute star season for yourself, topped off with the MVP. Speaking of stars, your coach, Janelle Morley, is a star. I commented to her and gave her the compliment that she has the best shoe game in the business. She said that she is a shoe girl, but you have a different relationship with her. She's your coach. What do you enjoy about playing for Janelle Morley? We see that she's really invested in her players. What makes it an enjoyable experience playing for her in season 2022?
Yeah, she's definitely invested in us and in the club, and you can see that she loves it and has such great passion for the game. I've just enjoyed being able to communicate with Janelle and like have that open feedback and kind of goes both ways. And that's probably, you know, helped our relationship, player and coach, this season. And I think, yeah, just the amount of effort and the study and the cutting of tape and, you know, that sort of stuff off the court that she puts in is helping our team get better each week and hopefully going that extra mile and winning that championship at the end.
And, of course, speaking of coaching, yourself right now, you're busy on Saturday night and you've made your way over to Bendigo. You're involved in coaching at the WA State Schools competition. And will you be back in time for this weekend's fixture, of course, against the Wheelerton Tigers? And what are you doing over in Bendigo?
Yeah, so over in Bendigo, so at the Awards Night Saturday night, was at the airport nice and early Sunday morning to get here. I'm the team manager for the under-18 girls state school team. So over here, filling up some water bottles and cheering on the girls. And yes, I will be back in time for our game on Saturday night.
I feel like the most qualified water bottle filler of all time, and you may be adding a little bit more to the culture of the team, I suspect, than just water.
Yeah, I do like to you know, give my 2 cents here and there.
Who's the coach? Who's the coach there?
Blair Kearsley is the coach.
Okay, sure. So I'm sure a great rapport and relationship, and you can probably add your 2 cents worth pretty comfortably then, I think.
Yeah, I think he's okay with me piping up sometimes.
Sounds good. Well, Ben alluded to the matchup with the Wheelerton Tigers. Your award for finishing top spot was to face the defending champs. The Tigers can certainly still fire on their night. What's your expectation for this qualifying final on Saturday, 5 p.m. tip-off?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a challenge, and finals is kind of anyone's game, and Wheelerton are a fantastic team and have fantastic individual players that we're going to have to focus on and make sure we lock down. But yeah, I think it'll be a close, tough one, and both teams will come out and give it their all.
Well, good luck for that final. Stacey Barr, the recently appointed women's MVP for the NBL One West in 2022. Thank you so much for your time and some insights into what's going on with you at the moment.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you so much for having me on.
Pleasure. We appreciate your time.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. Brett and Ben with you. And as promised, we've now got Cameron Coleman on the line from the Geraldton Buccaneers, recently voted the Defensive Player of the Year in the NBL One West and also the All-Star Starting Five. Welcome along to the show.
Man, how's it going? Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys and, yeah, excited.
Thanks so much for your time. Fantastic awards night there and not too bad for you either. All-Star Starting Five and Defensive Player of the Year. Firstly, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's definitely an honor to be recognized by the league out here in the West. And so, yeah, it's definitely something that I'm excited about.
Bit of a point of difference for you and an extra accolade. The first player to be Defensive Player of the Year across two separate conferences. So an extra congratulations there. Obviously, defense is your signpost, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I pride myself on. That's definitely how I get myself going on the offensive end. It's just locking in on my defensive assignment. And I know that's just something that I could give to any team that I'm like playing for. So it's been a pleasure and, yeah, just a wonderful experience. So I'm glad.
Cam Coleman, Ben Pether here. First and foremost, congratulations from Saturday night. There was a huge attendance there from the Geraldton Buccaneers. We had the season in review videos. Whenever you popped up or anyone from the Geraldton Buccaneers, there was a huge roar from the tables you guys had there. And one of your teammates, Johnny Narkle, won sixth man of the year. You get to see him Tuesday, Thursday, and on the weekends as well. And he's really developed throughout the season. What have you liked about his season though thus far? And what do you enjoy about playing with young Johnny Narkle?
Yeah, the biggest thing is just who he is as a person. He's just a character, like always full of energy, a fun guy to be around, just off the court. And then on the court, he's just a natural talent. Very skilled on both ends of the court. And it's just been an experience to just watch him grow and develop this season. And yeah, he's just ran with it through the course of this season, and I'm definitely proud of him.
And yourself from Allen, Texas, and you represented York College Panthers for your U.S. collegiate career, and you've spent time playing in Adelaide. You're in New South Wales for the St. George Saints. You're now playing for the Geraldton Buccaneers. It seems like you really love it out here in Australia. What have you enjoyed about playing in Australia, and then in particular, what have you enjoyed about playing in the regional town of the Geraldton Buccaneers?
The biggest thing that I like about playing in Australia is that it's just very competitive. Initially, when I came to Australia, I didn't know what to expect in regards to the level of play. But as soon as I like stepped on the court, Australia definitely had a brand of just being grit and having high intensity style of play all across Australia. Regardless of just Geraldton in particular, I just loved it out here. It's a nice, small regional community. Everybody's very relaxed, which is a little bit more fitting to my personality. And the coastal life has been just an experience to remember for sure.
And of course, Geraldton Buccaneers always pride themselves on bringing out great imports. One of your teammates, Sean Stewart, speaking of defense, you won the Defensive Player of the Year. He would have been close. He's fantastic. He guards the ball 94 feet. What have you enjoyed about playing with him in season 2022?
Man, Sean has like amazing work ethic. I've never been around another import who's worked as hard as him. Day in and day out, he brings the intensity. He's always level-headed, always strategizing and analyzing the game. And especially just throughout the course of this season, he's definitely played a heavy part on my growth and my development. So I've been able to take a lot from him and just use him as a sounding board. He's been great just as a player and a person off the court as well.
Season 2022, you finished top of the table. Your coach, Dale Joseph, won Coach of the Year for the NBL One West. The first matchup you have Saturday night against the Coburn Cougars. You probably can't release anything from your scouting report, but the question in everyone's mind right now is, will you go to Carter Skaggs come Saturday night at tip-off?
If I know my coach, I'm pretty sure he's going to have me guard him. Just him being one of the better players on the team, I think that he'll definitely try to match me up against Carter Skaggs, but I won't know until Thursday this week on what the game plan and the strategy will be going into these finals.
The one thing that everyone knows we've had on the show throughout is people chatting about the atmosphere at the Geraldton Buccaneers. You guys have finished top of the table, first round of the finals. That place is going to be buzzing come Saturday night, 7 p.m. tip-off.
Yes, yes. Like, I'm excited. It's going to be a wonderful, like, atmosphere. Honestly, since I've been playing in Australia, Geraldton has, like, one of the best, like, support in regards to just the community coming out and supporting our games. And, like, yeah, they definitely get loud, so I'll definitely enjoy the energy that's just in the gym.
I'm just hoping that they've got the fans out to deal with that notorious Geraldton humidity and we don't have any problems with the court, because you don't want it on a big game like that, that's for sure.
Definitely not. I got my fingers crossed. I'm hoping everything aligns itself and we can go out there and put on a show.
And one final question. One of your coaching staff, Carter Cook, who came out as an import for the Geraldton Buccaneers, has made a home for himself now here in Australia. One of their former imports as well, Michael Lay as well. Is Australia a place that you could see sort of post-basketball, something where you could be finishing up, or is always the plan to move back to America, or is it never say never?
I'm definitely not closed off to the opportunity of possibly staying out here and finishing my career off in Australia. It's definitely things that I've talked about with my partner, so definitely open to it. But yeah, we're just going to see how everything plays out and yeah, see where kind of life takes me.
Well, we appreciate you having you on the show, Cam Coleman. All the best for Saturday night. No matter who you're guarding, who's sitting on that Coburn bus, they'll be anticipating the full force of the law from Cam Coleman on the defensive end.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Best of luck. Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Cam Coleman there, the recently crowned Defensive Player of the Year in the NBL One West. We'll be back on the other side of this to wrap things up on the NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show.
Coming to a close, some fantastic chats I thought in this week's show. Cam Coleman, Stacey Barr and Joel Wagner, thank you to all of those guys for joining us. Some great insights there, Ben.
Yeah, it was fantastic to have Joel Wagner, all-time games record holder for the Perth Redbacks. Hear his experiences. It's great to hear Stacey Barr, the MVP of the league, and I'm sure she'll be lighting it up against the Wildcat Tigers on Saturday night. And hear from Cam Coleman as well. As I always say each and every week, when our regional teams are doing well, and it's fantastic that both our regional teams, in particular the Goldfields Giants and the Geraldton Buccaneers, having home finals. We're taking the finals on the road in season 2022, yeah. Which didn't happen last year. So it's super exciting and, plenty to play out here in NBL One West.
Plenty of stories and sore heads after the Vassal WA dinner as well. I think the NBL One West Awards night was a fantastic spectacle and is only growing, I think, and building on previous years.
Yeah, it was a fantastic night to recognise those, not only players, but officials as well and volunteers for their fantastic contributions. And it was a great night to have everyone in the room and celebrate what has been a fantastic season.
We did shout out your NBL One West Commentator of the Year Award, but also worth giving a nod to yourself and also Travis Haydo for the video side of it, for that great compilation of highlights of the different rounds that we saw as well, which I thought was a great touch and really added that basketball element, I suppose, to the whole event.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It gave it the Brownlow-like atmosphere, and I'm sure all the teams enjoyed seeing their faces for their round action when they had some individual highlights. And just one award that I want to put on record right now. I want to put it out there to the Basketball WA community. We've named some of our awards, Brett Costello. But over the weekend, congratulations to Stephen Cook from the Mandurah Magic, who won the Statistician of the Year. I'm proposing for season 2023, the renaming of the Statistician Award to be the Marcus Langshaw Statistician of the Year Award. There is no one who's given more service to stats and basketball than Marcus Langshaw, both at domestic, wobble, state basketball level, national basketball level, and international basketball level. Season 2023, I'm starting it right now. Marcus Langshaw, Statistician of the Year Award.
Is there a petition people can sign for this?
I will have to set it up later. I just got to draw, just got to start to circle the idea. Okay, okay. But yeah, it was fantastic.
Build some momentum. We've already got the Casey Milo MVP and things like that, so why not? Why can't we have that? We've got the John Gardner Coach of the Year even, things of that nature.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, look, I'm only going to do that one. We're going to throw that one out there, but it was a fantastic night.
Well, good luck to all the teams who are participating in qualifying and elimination finals. You can get all of those details and the live streams over at mbl1.com.au. If you have missed any of the podcast or radio show, you can check out more on the likes of TuneIn, Podomatic, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search for NBL One West Radio Show. Thanks once again, Ben, for all of your inputs.
Thanks for having me, Brett. And all the best to all the teams this weekend. Should be some interesting results, no doubt.
That's it for this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.